Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John, and this is episode 105 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
Everybody,
watcher,
tell the listeners why there was no news show.
I got dragged into, well, I was doing an awful lot of landscape gardening at the weekend. Digging up a patio, leveling it, relaying it. Still haven't finished yet. Going to be doing more of that next weekend, so quite a lot of disruption. And we're doing this on the Wednesday, aren't we?
I know, it's terrible. So yeah, the week's out of kilter. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Yeah, so anyway, yes, yeah. This is the What We're Playing show.
It is. I shall start with Lord of the Rings. As we tend to do.
I remember that game.
Yes, you're getting a bit rebellious about it all, aren't you, these days?
1 week.
I don't think we're going to see much more of you.
1 week.
Although, to be fair, out of the other people who were there, there's an awful lot of talk of what game we're going to be playing next each week. So, I don't know.
I would just like to point out,
is it winding down?
The reason why me and Matt weren't there was because Going Postal was on Sky.
You're watching something on telly, which is an absolutely feeble excuse. You've got HD Super Sky Mega Video Recordy Box thing that can preemptively record all the stuff that you like.
4 hours of Terry Pratchett adaption. What was I meant to do?
You were meant to come and play Lotro.
I was meant to make do a second best, was I?
Yes, you certainly were. What? Anyway, it's your own fault, and we've now done Book 4, Chapter 7, the Volume 2 there, the first groupie bit in Moria. We just went ahead and did it, so there.
Meh, be like that. Yes. Got to do it again now.
Well, we've had a number of weeks of helping people get their solo stuff in order, and you're still not there, really, are you? You're not doing your homework.
I can't be arsed.
Well, there we go. We've got no guilt or
books are
no
so
worries
boring.
About you missing all that stuff. Well, it seems to be getting a bit groupy from here on. I mean, to be fair, I mean, the group instance was pretty good, actually. You travel now, you end up in this instance. There's lots of watery flume rides, there's unexpected bugs everywhere, there's all sorts of wheels you have to turn. It was quite exciting. And guess what the end boss of that particular chapter was?
What?
It was the Watcher.
Oh,
yeah, you missed it.
You see what happens
when you don't play the game? Yeah, so you know that deed where you got the three Watcher kills? We got 2 out of 3 of those done now.
The third one's the impossible one we can never get, isn't it?
I think the third one is your 12-man, you need 58 radians to even go in there without dying on the spot.
Well,
super raid.
I believe Ackley's got his wife playing now, so that's another 2. We just need 4 more.
Your sinister recruiting plan continues, yeah.
Bad Panda's
big shout out to Ackley there, who's on our server and in our guild as well, but unfortunately is about 30 levels below us and unable to join and play with us in any meaningful manner.
Haven't logged in for about a fortnight now. So I haven't talked to him in quite a while.
No, but he seems to be enjoying it. He's doing his thing there, just immersing himself in the world, which is one of the redeeming features of the thing, you know, throughout all these weeks of increasing discontent.
It is a beautifully rendered world.
Yeah, we did, what did we do? We did a 6-man skirmish, did we, the week before?
Was that the time when we completed?
We did Trouble in Tuckborough, and there was a Priestess of Flame, and we survived!
Yay!
Execute Starburst Formation, the absolute perfect tactic for that, because basically she just dumps this massive patch of fire, and the way to counter that is literally to run in all directions screaming.
Yeah.
So you don't just stand there and burn.
Run in all directions screaming and hoping that Ed takes it down with his bow.
It was really good, though. We got all the way through it. We got James's knowledge of the Trouble in Tuckborough skirmish is quite encyclopedic, to say the least.
It was scary. You'll be wanting to take 2 steps to the left now.
It's like total voiceover all the way through. Brilliant.
3, go.
Delivered in a calm and professional manner. I think he's been there before. But
if ever I do a military raid on somewhere, I want him directing it on my earpiece.
He's top raid leader, I've decided, absolutely. Calm, authoritative, knows his stuff. Excellent. That's what you need. Yeah, so we got that done. Ticked off a few extra kills on deeds for, because not all the monsters show up in the solo skirmishes, do they? Some of them only show up in groups.
You have to start going up to the higher tiers with the group stuff to get them all.
Yeah, oh, that was only a tier 1 6-man, so God knows what 2s are like. But did that. It's very heartening, that. Very good. I mean, I was using my banner guard. I've decided that it can't all just be only herbalists. Otherwise, why would they have put other ones
in? When
we're
grouped, we should not be using herbalists, because I, quite frankly, had nothing to do. I had moved into hit them with my flamey hands mode.
Yeah, I've been experimenting. First, I started with the Banner Guard, which is a sort of mini captain pet sort of thing. Herald, it has, runs around with the banner. It seems to be a combination of buffer and slight taunting, heavy melee as well.
Yeah,
it's much better than Herbalist in that it actually goes in there and does a bit of damage. So as long as your own personal build is fairly survivable, you've got a few reasonable self heals on board.
I was thinking
you can probably do without a Herbalist and go with a Banner Guard instead. You get bonuses to hit and damage. And
I was thinking we're going with straight DPS.
Yeah, that was my other thing. I tried an archer as well, sort of crank that up. I mean, you think at the low end, you only need one skirmish complete for 300 marks or so to crank a brand new sort of henchman up to about levels 4s and 5s, and they become quite viable from there straight away. So it's not too difficult to jumpstart a new one up to usability. The archer, it went through quite quickly, but it was very precarious with me. Guardian tanking as I am. It's very hit and miss, and I think I did. I lost the archer, but I didn't lose myself, as it were. But it was quite. I don't know. It's a little bit overbalanced. I don't quite have enough DPS to do the job with an archer, because obviously, if you're going down the pure DPS route, you don't want to worry about healing or anything. But you need to get the job done quickly, otherwise, you're just going to run out of your initial pool of hit points. So, I think the Banner Guard seems a good compromise for me. So I'm going to work on that and level it up. Get it nice and powerful. That way the whole group gets buffs, etc. There's all sorts. I think we're going to need to try and look at getting a sage in the group fellowship team as well. Get someone volunteering to power up a sage, because they do a lot of debuff stuff. AoE debuff, which seems sort of lore mastery, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Worth a go.
Could I just take this moment to say thank you for the RAF for deciding to visit us with a Chinook?
There's always some strange noise out that window. No, we're going to carry on, because we're consummate professionals.
I'll get the RPG.
Yeah, okay. I've been sort of pottering around with skirmishes. I mean, yeah, not terribly enthused with soloing in there at the moment. I sort of waned a little bit there.
Yeah.
And when I do log in, I'll do a skirmish and then go away again. So perhaps that's what they're for. Perhaps that's the way they're meant to be played. There's more pottering around Mirkwood we can do, but ultimately I think it's going to be rinse and repeat on the token instance. I think I've got all my medallion, Moria medallion stuff now.
Oh,
you can trade those up for 10 of those for one medallion of Lothlorien.
And 25 of them is for the gear or something.
I don't know.
25 of them and you get the signet ring of something.
So there's more there if you want it, but I don't know. There seems to be a sort of groundswell of support for moving on for the next thing.
Yeah.
I know Ed wants to finish Volume 2.
He does.
I do as well.
Yes, we need to respect that. We need to finish Volume 2 and Volume 3.
Well, Volume 3's only got one book at the moment, so yeah. I'm not that worried about it.
It won't take long to do, though, because
we can pick that up. Yeah. Well, I'll pick that up again at another time, perhaps further down the line when there's more expansions, I don't know. But, yeah, I think that's probably going to be the goal, really, then, as far as I can see.
We're not going to go for good, I pretty much know that.
Oh, no, I'm
the
sure
Fellowship
I'll
will return when the expansion comes out, and we will do that, I reckon.
But I think we got a fair way to go on Volume 2, certainly, because there's quite a bit of group stuff now coming up before we get
okay,
out to Lothlorien.
Okay, I will catch
you. You need
up.
To do your homework, yeah. Well, everyone got left with some homework this week as well, because it dumped us on a bloody solo instance again.
I hate that.
I know, it's quite disruptive if you're trying to do it in a group like we have been.
One thing or the other, not both.
Yeah, absolutely. Consistency. That way you know what to expect all the way through, but it's the chopping and changing that gets annoying. Yeah. So Guild Wars, I don't know what happened. There was some patch notes this week or last week.
Yeah, I would have reported on it, but I don't care.
Well, it's not particularly relevant for you, I suppose. No, but they've really gone mad with the Mesmer love this week. Every so often they do a balance patch to address how a particular class is working. Seems like it was Mesmer's turn this time.
Was it they've looked at Tim's comedy build and decided, let's give him a chance? Yeah,
I've been slogging away with Mesmer for the past 3 years. See, I'm not one of these fashion Mesmers who just shows up, oh, now Mesmers are sexy and powerful and interesting all of a sudden. You see a lot of Mesmers in there at the moment, but I was there all along. I was a Mesmer before it was cool to be a Mesmer. But, it seems that they've done the usual thing with the PvE, PvP, PvP and PvE splitting, which... Blimey, what's going on?
That's a different helicopter.
Right. They've sort of taken advantage of the decision they made a while back to split skills out between PvE and PvP. And all the PvE skills seem to have just gone mental with Mesmers now. Anything that was a direct target now seems to do AoE damage. Anything that was an AoE now also does energy draining as well as whatever it did before. Empathy, the old good old stalwart Mesmer skill there, that as well as what they used to do is you'd cast it on them. It's a debuff. It sits on them for a while. Every time they make an attack on you, they hurt themselves for X damage. Now they hurt themselves for X damage, and also they get damage reduction on the whatever they're attacking.
Okay.
So yeah, it just gimps them even further. It's just mad how powerful mesmers are. This, and I was in there this week charging around with. I think we were bouncing backwards and forwards between factions and either North for Emony and Malty there, helping them get on with their campaigns, as it were. And I was just charging about, laying down all sorts of arcane smackdown. It was quite frightening. I think next PvP week, maybe me versus the rest of the entire guild. I don't know yet.
How does it feel to be the first person in the history of MMOs to get a major patch which ungimped you?
Well, mesmers were always, I won't say difficult to play, but certainly there was a lot of subtleties involved in mesmers. And I think the large part of their design decision with what they've done here is that mesmers are typically they're good at running interference, they're good at hassling and slowing down and disrupting single targets. But the trouble is, pretty much all of Guild Wars PvE gameplay is about large groups of mobs and dropping as much AoE about the place as you can. So typically, I mean, this is something we've seen previously with the Assassin, which also had a major facelift not so long ago along similar lines. They got a whole load more AoE stuff than they started life with, mostly because the Assassin was massively overpowered against single targets out in the wilds, and you know, could kill them pretty quickly, almost instantly in most cases, and often before they could even finish their attack chain combos. I mean, yeah, they're great against bosses, but for the day-to-day, it's very difficult. You'd want a Dervish instead, because they're all about the AoE. In the same way, Elementalists are typically the massive PvE AoE people, and Mesmers generally are more about taking down individual bosses, which isn't quite so useful. So, yeah, a bit of a rebalance. Yeah, hell of a patch. I'm still trying to learn what all the new skills do. They're all old favourites. It was weird. I just logged in, and I sort of started looking through my saved list of comedy skill bars, and suddenly most of them are quite serious skill bars indeed now, you know. It's like... I've been sort of anti-nerfed without realising it in the background. You know, suddenly everything I'd saved because I thought it seemed interesting or quirky now is quite viable because everything's been beefed up.
Are we declaring this another victory for the Van Hemlock podcast?
I think so, yes. My tireless campaigning for the Mesmer over the last couple of years has finally paid off. I imagine we'll see a lot of the things nerfed back down again after a few weeks, because some of the combos you can put together are pretty powerful and
that's always
potentially game breaking.
The problem with that game is the combos are non-obvious.
It's always
it's
about
emergent
the
gameplay,
yeah,
really.
Very
isn't
much,
it?
Yeah. Well, you got something like 300, 400, whatever skills, and it's an absolute nightmare to try and balance them against each other on an individual one-for-one basis. Let alone when you start putting A, B, and C together to make the world suddenly explode. You know,
Yeah,
so it's remarkable that they're still trying and still keep trying to, you know, just even showing any kind of interest in Guild Wars 1 at all at the moment. You know, you got your Warring Kryta stuff picking up pace now. I think there's more bits and pieces to do for that. I still haven't really managed to find my way to it yet, but check out the Guild Wars website for that. But it's just interesting that they're looking at core systems as well, still, you know, still trying to keep an eye on it still. I mean, did you see the news about we haven't done a news show, so
no,
there's no news.
There was news.
I've got some news. Apparently a whole huge heap of players got banned from the top end of the game.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Hall of Heroes, all that sort of top end tournament PvP gameplay, just bans left, right and centre for match fixing and all this sort of thing.
Brilliant.
And they did it in character as well. Doom, D-H-U-U-M, turned up. He's like his big end raid monster. He's just turned up in some of the mission lobby outposts and started killing people permanently.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I wish I'd seen some of it. I think there were videos knocking about. I think Massively might have a video.
Oh, I saw a video, so yeah, there were some knocking around.
Yeah, so and this wasn't just, you know, let's turf out the most obvious 5,000 gold spamming accounts. This was like, you know, players with long histories and reputations, established guilds, all this sort of stuff. It just sort of seems, I don't know, it seems counterintuitive as to why they'd bother making this kind of effort at this late stage in Guild Wars, where essentially everyone's just waiting for Guild Wars 2 now. But
they're doing patches,
they're doing balances.
It's like they've realised that they've got this massive player base that they've been ignoring, and they've got a new game coming out.
Perhaps there's a certain savvy canniness about it as well. You don't want to just completely throw Guild Wars 1 out with the bathwater, because it may turn out that Guild Wars 2 is so emergently different and fantastically revolutionary that many people aren't going to like it. We don't like change, we don't like different. So probably makes a lot of sense to keep Guild Wars 1 going as a going concern.
And as we discussed before, there is a link between the two in some way, so I do think maybe there will be a back and forth nature somehow.
Yeah, perhaps.
Because there's the ability to have your statues in the new game.
Oh, yeah, I mean, your Hall of Monuments will be reflected.
Your account will be linked, so it will know. And it's free to play.
It's got to be linked to account. That's the only way that you're going to be able to pass your Hall of Monuments
through.
So,
Guild Wars 1 will not be going away, I think.
I think it's still going to be a relevant thing for many people, even after 2's launched. Yeah, it's good stuff. Played some Eve. I don't know. I did 1 week ago, wasn't it? And I was off for the other week because we went off to see Flight of the Conchords, who were very good.
Yes, you did, didn't
look them up on Spotify if you don't know who they are.
Everyone knows who they are.
They were really good. It was a bit overkill, frankly. We were at the Wembley Arena.
Yeah.
An immense building that gave me agoraphobia, vertigo and all sorts of things. Just sat there somewhere up near the roof on one side. And, you know, tiny little dots down on the front stage. And it's basically just two guys with guitars.
So it was your first stadium
sat on
gig.
Stools, yeah. And I saw a folk acoustic band of two that don't move about much.
A comedy folk acoustic.
Comedy folk, yes. No, they were very good. They did all the classics, all the favourites. A couple I hadn't seen before as well, so it was good. Good day out. But yeah, so Eve. They did a massive downtime patch, and I think they might have one tonight as well. As we were today.
The emergency patch is in already. Let's fix some of the things. Patch.
It's supposed to be off to play Eve tonight.
The economy, which we screwed up.
Yeah, yeah. So the week before this Tyrannis stuff showed up, we went and did a series of Agent 4 missions in Tech 1 Cruisers.
Okay. How did that work?
Oh, it worked very well. Again, you know, it was a bit hairy for whoever went in for the Alpha Strike and the aggro, but if you keep that micro warp going, or the afterburner, just keep your transversal high. I was doing a bit of repairs with the Osprey, and we're just charging through it all. I mean, there was a bit one or two quite hectic moments when you're dropping off the acceleration gate into the big pocket of Serpentis battleships at 5k, but apart from that, so I don't know if it was at Worlds Collide, I don't know if it was that one particularly, but we did quite a few fours with Tech 1 Cruisers. There wasn't a lot of Tech 2 gear on board those ships either, so I think that there's only one more step, really, isn't it? It's Tech 1 Frigates for Agent 4 missioning.
And the Alpha's going to be quite tricky.
if we can pull that off, I think we have won the PvE game of Eve. So I'm still umming and ahhing about where to go next with it all. Then Tyrannis showed up. So far it's only planets, isn't it? Have you seen it yourself? Have you been in? No? Okay, you can...
Ask me if I've got skill training.
Have you got skill training?
No.
No? Oh, dear. Well, you've got 3 new skills you can buy. I think one of them's remote sensing, which increases the range you can... You don't have to actually be in orbit around a planet to go into planet mode.
That's good.
And this remote sensing skill increases the number of light years away you can be to actually look at a planet. I don't even know if you need to be in the same system. Probably not. So that's a bit helpful. You can look at a planet... And it sort of goes into this different view, and it all looks quite cool, plays a bit of ominous ambient background noises and music, and you can just sort of spin around it and click on things and look at... I was very impressed. I found aqueous liquids. I was so impressed. I was shouting about it a lot to everyone who would listen on the channel there. But apparently water's quite common in the universe, so there goes my superb victory. I don't know. We're not quite sure what it's all for. You can't do anything with it yet.
No.
Because they've got to add a few more bits and pieces to it.
On June the 9th, I think they add it in, and you take that and you combine them, and they go to make the old NBC trade goods, like silica glass and stuff, as far as I'm aware.
Oh, so that's a bit brave if they're going to be trying to remove NPC... trade goods entirely.
I don't know, actually, because
that could seriously destroy trading gameplay. If it goes wrong,
my enthusiasm for Eve is at an all-time low.
As I understood it, I was talking to Gangrel there, who's on our little in-game chat channel that we keep going for everyone dropping in and seeing playing about the place. Him and Vorik were basically thinking that it was more or less going to be to sort out POS fuel. You know, like
stuff like that,
stuff like that. So basically, a sort of adjunct to existing industrial gameplay, rather than anything swish or super.
No,
it's
purely to support the POS gameplay.
Yeah. Speaking of POSs, you see that fantastic bug they broke the game with?
Yes.
I was kicking myself for not getting
the major alarm or my Eve mail. Be very, very careful going near the Alliance's. Pauses. Okay.
I mean, apparently it was something to do with they for the first time they put is it modules for I forgot to say now what's going on Very noisy today. They're putting laboratory modules or laboratory arrays or something like that. And apparently previously you could only make them.
Yeah.
They were only player made, but now they've basically put a whole load on the market for NPC so that anyone can buy them and get them set up. The trouble is they turned out to be refinable, and you can recycle them down to components and then use those components to build outposts, you know, the really big star bases
for really, really cheaply,
yeah. So massive amounts of economic uncertainty and chaos as a result, but none of it came my way, which is a shame because I don't really do pulses or sovereignty or anything. I missed out.
The bit of the game I actually have been using
You want to talk about Evegate? Yeah, I'd not really looked at that at all.
That's quite good.
The fun of Eve without having to ever log in.
You got access to my Eve my mail, and there's a Facebook status like thing that the corp can share.
It's quite good. Message boards, this sort of thing.
I managed to go through and delete it and read all the emails I've been ignoring for a while.
So basically, it's your address book and mail sort of thing.
Yeah, you can modify your address book as well.
Can you interact with the market at all using it?
No, you can't.
You have to log in for that.
You can only interact with your mail address book, and there's a calendar as well.
Okay, so it's sort of helpful keeping track of things whilst in between actual playing. It doesn't replace playing Eve at all.
It's very, very useful if you run a corp.
Some of the more high-end power management side of it all.
I know that when I have been active running the corp, there's an awful lot of time answering email.
Missed a week because of the big patch. Not sure what we're doing tonight. After check when we get him. I think the plan mostly is going to be, I think we might look at wormholes. Have a go at wormhole extraction, you know, getting in there and getting some of the goodies from there. Because it's a sort of dabbling with PvP a bit, but it's not just us going out there to try and just shoot someone in the face for the hell of it, you know, which I'm not particularly happy with as a gameplay style. You know, there's a bit of risk there, and there's some quite good reward there. It, you know, we've got to be on our toes, we've got to think about it a bit challenging. So see how that goes, really, see if that can keep us busy in our little ragtag Wednesday fleet. Then I was playing a lot of DDO as well.
Oh,
yeah, we're really working a lot on, I can't remember the name of the island now, Atraxia, something like that. There's basically a little, I don't know if it was free or a pay for, I think it might have been free. There was it's a sort of remote port island with a spa, health spa on it and everything, and of course, it's where adventurers go for like spa breaks and weekend resort and that sort of thing. And, you know, in keeping with services and facilities for adventurers, the island's crawling with monsters. I can't even remember what the storylines were there. There was a couple of quests, the various little whirlies on the island there. Some fantastic sniping as well. You can find yourself on top of these giant pillars and hit stuff about half a mile away, all the way across the island. And they had a lot of trouble getting me off of there with my arcane archer. We're also working quite a bit on the Menectarin Desert, the old Demon Sands adventure back there with its huge, huge desert zone. There's a sort of overriding series of story through there where we're killing various things and retrieving artifacts for this genie. And I think I'm not quite sure what's going on, as is usually the case in DDO, because I'm just chasing along at the back, shooting stuff and causing aggro and giggling a lot. But I think we're trying to line up for an assault on some kind of another dragon or a demon queen of some sort. There's lots of pictures of, you know, the Nagas, sort of half woman, half snake with all the scimitars and stuff. I think it might be one of those.
Ah.
If the splash screens and loading screens are anything to go by. So we're... So gearing up to... It's sort of unlocking raid content, really. At the end of this desert, there's two 12-man missions. And, of course, you know, with us having about that many people in the guild, it's great if we can have access to those on the Fridays. So we've been sort of in various stages of putting in the legwork on the preceding unlock quests for that. That's good. We still haven't gone back and done the Vault of Night properly yet, either. The big dragon on the space platform is all very complicated. Well, I haven't anyway. I don't know if some of the guild may have worked out a strategy, which hopefully we'll be able to see. That should be good. But yeah, just general pottering around in there. I'm enjoying it quite a lot, shooting stuff. I'm toying with the idea of respecking to dual wield rather than the shooty arcane archer, because basically the front row melee people seem to have all the fun.
It's often the case in these games.
Well, especially if you're like not necessarily a tank, but like dual-wielding DPS person on the front row, you tend to be tend to get all the glory and all the kills and stuff, and it's just constant slash, which it suits me fine. Yeah, like monks, for example, they dual-wield fists and tend to have a similar kind of experience. Just go mental on the front line killing stuff. Monster grinding! It's fantastic. But yeah, still playing there. Still good there. My various angsts over the last, what we're playing, shows seem to have dissipated a lot. I'm feeling quite chipper about DDO, but then I was back then. I don't know about Eve. We'll see what's what and where to go next with that. But it's still quite fun. I'm still training up stuff, leadership. Nearly got all of the passive leadership bonuses up to rank fives now, so that's quite helpful when we got various fleets going. Guild Wars, I don't know. Asgard was saying to me, you know, he's surprised that I'm having all sorts of angst about Lotro when I've been playing Guild Wars for the last 3 years and almost nothing's changed in there. But I don't know, I'm sort of quite settled with Guild Wars. I think, as I was explaining, I think it's kind of like each mission in Guild Wars is like a sporting event. You know, you don't get annoyed when you go to a golf course that it's the same course as last time.
I do.
You do? Okay, fair enough. Or a tennis court or a squash court. You know, the idea that you have a fixed known activity with a known set of variables and it's about refining and improving that specific thing. Whereas something that tries to be a bit more worldly, I don't know. I don't know if that works as much. It's hard to say.
I think it's a different thing.
Is it an activity? You know, is it a sporting
it's
game?
It's sort of like, I keep coming back to this, but Horde mode, in Gears. It's one of the most simple setups for a gaming session.
Mm.
Multiple waves of enemies coming at you on a map, nothing else.
Mm. Well, I've only tried it two or three times myself. Yeah, let's talk about consoles then. I've been playing Horde mode and Gears of War 2 with you guys. Yeah, we did the sort of city street with all the neon lights and the balconies and stuff. We did a hole in the middle on the crossroads.
Oh, yes, that one. That's quite good. Yeah.
Yes, lots of people using hammers of dawns and mortars to try and knock melee things off of me.
It was an evening of play where eyebrows may not have survived on anybody.
There's me going toe-to-toe with some of them little crawly, jumpy dog things, and I just hear this bleep, 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 bleep. Yeah, I mean, suddenly, whoom, big column of fire.
I will admit that me and Matt
orbital satellites are sometimes a weapon.
We were using orbital satellites and mortars as long distance close range weaponry, and being able to have worked out the distance to Tim and the distance to the enemy who is 2 inches in front of Tim for the mortar strike is quite good.
To be fair, I didn't die a lot because of it, so you're obviously pretty good at what you're doing, but it's still unsettling. I've started tanking in there. I love the shield, I've decided. Shield and pistol combo. I don't know, something psychological about it. I am one of life's tanks, I think.
I think you are.
But yeah, that sort of shield you can pick up and sort of...
Yeah.
You basically, as long as you hold it up in front of you, you're basically invulnerable. Nothing can get through. Even the melee stuff can't, you know, claw its way past you. About the only thing that can kill you is if someone, I think it's the other ones with the shields who sort of knock you over and knock it off of you sometimes.
And I think the butchers can as well.
Mm, but otherwise, yeah, even the torque bows, they bounce off the shield.
Which is great. Which is lucky because I hate torque bows.
For the other hand, it's that dragon pistol thing.
Is that the one you've been using?
That's the one I was using. It's the one that does the sort of oozy short burst thing. I think it's the ones with the commissar ones.
I've been doing quite well with the magnum of it.
Yeah, so but yeah, doing quite well there, getting better at it. I've only got two maps. I even went and brought the map pack in the end.
That's good.
Just so I can join in fully.
That means we can do some of the others next time.
Yeah, I'm all set there, so that's good. Playing lots of Fable 2. I completed it with my good playthrough.
Okay.
It's very abrupt, the end, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Just suddenly,
crash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, adventuring, meet Stephen Fry. Well done. Finished, you know. Once you met the Stephen Fry character there, it just 1, 2, 3 finished, you know.
Yeah.
Sudden, very sudden. I mean, it does leave you in a functioning world that you can then carry on playing in, but something goes out of it a bit, I think, once you've lost your main story.
With all these games.
Yeah, same as
once you finish the plot, you sort of lose a little bit of focus. Yeah.
Well, I started my evil playthrough, having a lot of fun with that. I'm just taking it very easy with that one.
Are there any villagers left anywhere?
They tend to run away from me on sight because I have a habit of just sort of standing there and doing the fireball charge up in the middle of the town square, and they don't like it for some reason.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you bought all their houses and put the taxes up?
Oh, I'm being a terrible tyrannical landlord. I'm buying any house I can afford and doubling the rent.
Because
yeah.
I bought all the houses and really lowered all the rent because I desperately wanted to be seen as good for an achievement, I think.
It's all about the achievements, yeah.
Oh, there's an achievement for owning all the houses and getting a certain amount of cash through them. So if you buy them all and put it all up really high, as long as people still live in
it. The thing it does is you earn rent even when you're not playing.
I know.
When you switch the thing off, presumably it just makes a note of the time and then notes the time when you turn it on again.
I think tone it down. Oh, I haven't logged in for ages. I had over a million saved up before and nothing to spend it on. Sort of I haven't played it in 6 months.
You haven't played it for a couple of days and you log back in again. You get this massive amount of cash all of a sudden. As
I suspect
off back rent.
I might go do some gambling in one of the pubs and put some really big wages down.
Yeah, I was sort of picking away at the achievements there. I think I accidentally got the Bigamist badge, which was quite cool.
Accidentally.
Well, I forgot
you were married.
I forgot I was married, and I needed a wife so I could sacrifice her at the Temple of Darkness.
Oh, yeah.
But you get bonus loyalty points for that. They do. They offer the Shadows loyalty scheme, isn't it? It's like nectar points. Very funny. But, I think I accidentally got the goth one for dressing all in black. Well, you're evil, you've got to, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Do.
But
didn't you have to have black makeup for that as well?
I think I might have accidentally got the black makeup as well, yeah. Never mind.
It's not a male character, is it?
No. My inner goth, of course, yeah. Got the witch's hat and everything. It's very good. What else am I playing? I play more Borderlands again. Don't know why.
So have I.
Just dip back in there.
Yeah. I know why I was playing it.
I wanted 1,000-point a game.
Yeah.
And I think Borderlands might be the one I'm nearest to doing that in.
Well, 1,000-point it, but not 100% it.
No, because they keep adding bloody DLC.
I've decided, Borderlands,
I'm nearly there. I can nearly do it. No, need Ned's Island for that one. Need Moxie's Dome for that one.
I had 100%ed it and 1,000-pointed it.
Yeah.
But then they released the DLC. I spent some time trying to get the extra
achievements. They're leveraging our completionism for cash. Which is very sinister, frankly. But I got the My Brother is an Italian Plumber one. I didn't even know you could do damage by jumping on people in that game.
I thought you had to have looked that one up. There was no way you were going to get that one by accident.
No, because you only do about 2 points of damage when you jump on someone. So you have to basically machine gun a skag down to about five health and then jump on him repeatedly.
Yeah.
It's so contrived. There's no way you get that one accidentally, no.
I would have loved to have got that accidentally, but it's just not doable.
I know. Well, I'm sort of looking. Them up, yeah. I mean, I've got the level 50 one I need to get, so I picked up my hunter again. I was previously using the siren, but I don't know, it's all a bit frantic. Keep running out of ammo.
I got the level 51 one now.
There's a 51 one?
Yeah.
Right, fair enough.
Only if you got the DLC there.
Well, yeah. So I'm not going to be able to 100% it. I'm not going to be able to 100% any of these games because they keep blinking out
not
in DLC.
All of them. Also,
very annoying.
Having looked at it, the 100% for Borderlands isn't too hard.
No, it dishes most of them out in the course of your normal business.
Yeah,
which is
and
good.
The different expansions. There's two quite nasty collectible ones in there.
Yeah,
and then there's the whole Mad Moxie one, which is a bit of a pain.
Right,
because that's what I was doing. I spent a lot of Monday doing Mad Moxie's. Challenge dome thingies.
Oh yeah,
and I'm it's 20 levels, 5 waves per level.
Oh yeah, mini horde mode.
Yeah, and you've got to do it as a group. So I rolled up a second account.
You're chill boxing.
No, I did it split screen.
Oh,
but the
That's
way you
pathetic.
Do it is
you should ask some of us to help.
No, that won't work.
Oh, won't it?
No, because I created a quite rubbish person, got them just up to the point where they could get to Mad Moxie's Underdome.
Oh, because the levels.
Created the game, joined my level 51 character in, and it was doable.
That sounds like exploiting to me, frankly.
It took me about 12 hours to do the 20 levels, although I did stop to watch TV at one stage.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's hard work. I've got two more of them to do. If you're doing arena-based combat, do not do that. Game designers, take note. Look at Mad Moxie's Underdome. Do not do that.
It's like every game has an arena sequence in these days as well. I get a bit tired of it, frankly. But, I just thought it'd be nice to 100% a game, you know, complete a game on the Xbox. And, I think I'd probably Borderlands is the one I'm nearest to doing it, and so I thought I might go with that.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do it. I've been working through the DLC. I've 100%ed the main game, 100%ed the... Zombie Ned one, and I've almost 100%ed the Mad Moxie. I just need to do two more of those 20 round things, and then I just need to finish off the latest expansion, and there's a new one coming at some stage. So I reckon I can get that back up to 100%, no problem.
Yeah, fair enough. I've been playing quite a bit of Crackdown as well. Ever since you told me how to turn the gangs back on, that's breathed new life into that game for me.
Yeah.
It's not just turn the gangs back on either, it resets the whole thing, so you have to actually go after the bosses again and just basically work your way through as if you hadn't already completed it. So
but this time you're more leveled up.
This time you got all the big guns.
And it's still just as fun.
It's fantastic, yeah. Oh, you keep all the orbs that you've got, all your levels and everything. Yeah, I'm trying to do the driving a bit, because that was the area I was about one star in compared to about four in all the others. And again, yeah, achievements, But quite like in the supercar, now that I realised you don't have to steer with it.
No, the supercar, when it levels up to its max level, basically becomes a wedge.
Yeah, I'm up to about two or three with it now. And yeah, basically, if you hit anything fast enough, you just wedge underneath and flick the car.
With the highest level, it's not if you hit anything fast enough. If you bump into traffic at the lights, boink, over the top of you.
Excellent. Because I'm not very good at steering around traffic in these games, you see, which is a bit of a problem for a racing game.
I find that
you don't have to if you've got
any A to B driving experience will end up with A to A.5, then police chase from A.5 to B.
Oops. And it just escalates from there.
That's enough of that, agent.
Right. Yeah. Also, I've been playing our mystery review game.
Oh, so have I. Yes, we won't mention that.
We're not. I don't know. Why are we doing the secrecy thing? Is it for dramatic suspense?
No, because they'll laugh at us.
Because they'll laugh at what we've picked. Okay. Possibly. But yes.
Shall we tell them?
No. Let's keep the mystique. Yes. Next week we shall have a game.
Remind me, I need to give you another.
Yeah, the other game.
No, we're only going to review one, but you need to play the other one for balance.
Okay, fair enough. Comparative.
Yeah.
Materials.
You need to get to level one in the other one online, right. And then you need to...
There's a bit of a clue there, perhaps.
Possibly.
Yeah. So I've been playing quite a bit of that, doing my... I don't know. I mean, is it spoilerific to say that it's not my favourite game out of the games I was playing this week?
Is it spoilerific that I'm saying that I might be giving you this game so you can see how it could be done?
Yes. Well, yeah. More about that next week when we do our first proper review thing for a while. And that's about it, really. I'm talked out. What have you been playing?
I have been playing... Well, there's the Borderlands nonsense, which I'm doing because, you know, you're doing it. And we're not doing it together, I'm just doing it.
Yeah, you constantly monitor the online friends icons like a hawk, and you saw me doing something fun and interesting.
No, actually, it was you saying you wanted to do 100% again, and we had the discussion as to what.
You realised you hadn't done it yet.
No, and then I got all nostalgic for when I had 100% of it.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, Doom 2 came out.
Doom 2? Oh, blimey, cutting edge.
On Xbox. Now, the Doom games on Xbox, the first one was brilliant. I 100% of that game.
Uh-huh.
Although, technically, my brother 100%
of it. Is it one of those arcade ones that there's only like 120 points?
It's 200 points.
200 points, yeah.
But for some reason, Doom works really, really well on the Xbox controller. Because you've got no up-down, you've got it left right, and it works incredibly well. Way better than I think the keyboard ever did. And
I haven't given it a go.
The first two Doom games are some of my favourite games of all time.
Are they doing what they used to do back in the day in the original release, which is give away a whole third of the game for free?
No, I don't think they are.
Oh, that's a shame.
Doom 2, still brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think it's brilliant, you're too young.
Well, I wonder, is this a nostalgia thing? Is it just because you're of a certain age and a gamer of the PC of the
day?
No,
it is still fun online.
It's still good?
Yeah, fair it's enough. Still an enjoyable experience. And the double-barreled shotgun still has the best reloading sound ever.
Excellent.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to end up 200ing that as well.
Right.
Because, well, it's not, the hardest one of those is there's... What I've got left is I think I've got to kill... I think it's a cyber demon with my fists. There's another way.
Is the cyber demon the big spider one, or is it the Minotaur-y one? I can't remember.
Actually, it's either the spider or the Minotaur. I can't remember which one
is the other
achievement.
One. The big sort of, there's one in between. That's the Baron, though, isn't it? I can't remember.
There are loads of Barons. but anyway, it's that one. There's one just to find the BFG. Yeah, like that's going to be a problem.
Mm. Can you still remember where it is? Have they moved it?
No, they haven't moved anything.
Okay.
No, the big problem I've got is my memory of two was never as strong as my memory of one.
Mm. Know what you mean, yeah.
And also the others, I complete everything on Ultraviolet.
Yeah, it was frightening watching you playing through the first level of Doom 2, though. You knew where all the secret doors were and everything. It was...
Yeah.
How long ago? So 15 years?
10 plus, 15 years. I know,
you need to get out more.
It sticks. You just know, turn around, right, there's a chainsaw behind you.
Yeah, that wall's a different colour. Oh, there's the secret door.
If you jump off the lift, if you hit that vent over there, it opens that door.
Oh, God.
It's just a classic game.
It sticks in your memory, certainly.
Doom 3, not so good.
Yeah, I've never played it. I can't say I really want to be honest.
Actually, I found it. I was clearing out a room and I found Doom 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Doom 2, brilliant. Love that game. What else have I played? I've been playing Split Velocity, or was it?
Split Second, is it?
Oh, Split Second. Too Much one. Velocity, or whatever it's called.
Is it?
It's got Velocity, stupid name in the in Europe because of it. But Split / Second.
Right.
Looks very much like Burnout Paradise. It's got
okay.
that goldish daylight colour scheme.
To it, yeah.
It's basically a reality TV show about racing where if you do enough driving well or whatever, drafting or sliding around corners, whatever, you unlock three levels of little eventy things you can do.
Oh, right.
At the bottom level, you can cause stuff like, you know, a truck to explode by the side of the road as you drive past. Next level, bigger things. And the max level, you can change the route.
Oh, God.
So you can trigger, say, a big tower on an airport, the big control tower, to collapse down, and that modifies the way the route goes.
Oh.
So you've then got a shorter route, which involves driving down it. And if anyone's on that bit of track when it blows up, they're sort of dead and need to respawn.
Oh, dear.
It's brilliant. It is really, really brilliant
as
a game.
It sounds very gimmicky. Does it work as...
Online it's horrible.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows, right, on this straight, I need to be on the far left because there's going to be an explosion on the right if anyone triggers it.
So it spoils itself a bit quite quickly.
Yeah, it's far too...
Depends too much on sudden events that you're going to learn.
Yeah. For the multiplayer, but for the single player...
Yeah.
It's fun because of that, because you know, right, there's something at this last minute that I can do to deal with this guy who's ahead of me, he's just going to win, I know I can blow that up, I get past him, really satisfying. So yeah, it's actually, the single player's good, I don't like the multiplayer that much at the moment.
Fair enough. But how does it feel like as an actual driving game in itself, though? Cause,
arcadey.
Know, yeah, it's not very technical or anything.
It's not one of the most realistic driving games. It's no Gran Turismo.
Or Forza, no.
But, it's an arcade racer, and it looks good, plays well, is incredible fun.
Excellent.
What else did I play? I was playing a bit more Alan Wake.
Oh, yeah.
Have I talked about Alan Wake
at all? You talked a little bit about it before.
Yes. I played several more episodes.
Episodes is its chapters.
Yeah. The voiceover disappears quite a lot towards the end, luckily.
Do you not really like it?
No, it gets quite annoying to start with, but then it gets worse.
The director's cut.
A lot of people have really, really slated it because of the voiceover, and it just spends so much time telling you what to do as a voiceover. People will talk to you. You'll find pages from a book lying around.
Perhaps it was a bit too not obvious on the test audience.
It's possible, but I actually think that's not too much of a problem because it's telling you what's going on. I keep telling you. And I think that's what they were trying to do, because you get the page in the book and it says, you know, you're going to come up against a guy with a chainsaw and he's going to go rrr, rrr, and kill you. And you think, oh, bollocks, there's a chainsaw coming. And you think, is this the chainsaw? And yeah. And I actually like that. I like the foreshadowing. That works really, really well.
Oh, I see. By sort of hinting ahead of time what's going to happen, it makes you build it up more than it really is.
It does, yes.
Yeah, the horror thing, suspense. Yeah.
There's also telekinetic objects being thrown at you. Very Ghostbusters, which you have to shine your light out to destroy. Brilliant. Brilliant until you get a train in the face.
Right. It's shining your light back.
The enemies get incredibly repetitive, which is the biggest problem.
A bit limited selection of monsters.
Yeah. The combat does get very repetitive after a while, and I haven't finished it because I just got distracted by other games.
Oh, okay. Something you will want to finish.
No, I am going to finish it. It's just certain other game release that was brilliant. What other games have I got on my desk?
We're going to have to rummage. There's Iron Man.
No, I tidied them up. I did tidy up, and now I can't remember what I was playing.
Test Drive?
No, those are all old games. There's more Nation Racers.
Oh, yeah.
PS3 Mario Kart style game with a level designer. I've not used
a
level designer yet.
A bit of Little Big Planet, but on carts.
Yeah. I've actually not done an awful lot of it. I really don't like the racing. It does not race anywhere near as good as Mario Kart.
If you're going to play kart racing, it has to be quite light and fun and responsive.
If you're doing a kart game and you're not as good as Mario Kart, do not bother.
Don't bother.
Just don't make it. It's that simple.
Right.
But I spent a good 2 hours in it on Saturday night, really late at night, because when you're in the initial start area, you can hear everyone around you if they've got mics on.
Mm.
And there was this couple having this really interesting argument, not knowing the mic was on. And so I listened to that for a while. That was fun.
Right. Fair enough.
I felt like I was a part of their
rapidly deteriorating
relationship.
It's like a miniature soap opera you weren't expecting.
Yeah. And it was more fun than the racing.
You're a bad man.
Also,
do
on
you
the
do a shout out at all?
No, I better not. I didn't actually get their
name.
I also got on the PS3 3D Dot Heroes.
Yes.
Which
another
is
one I'd heard of.
It's basically the story of a 2D NES style Japanese adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your original Final Fantasy sort of stuff, your Pokemon type stuff. A 2D world which they decided to make into 3D, and everything's made out of little square pixels.
Mm, yes, that's what caught my eye.
And it's got this really lovely camera field of view, focus length effect.
A distinctive look to it, yeah.
The game itself, not quite as good as it could be.
No?
It's incredibly retro. If you don't like that sort of game, you're going to hate this game with a passion.
Fair enough.
I haven't really got that far into it, because it's one of those games that's going to sit on my shelf until I get to that exact moment where I'm in the mood for it.
Yeah.
And then I will complete it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have these things to look forward to. You don't have to play them to death the moment they come out of the shooting
app. The biggest problem with it is, as you kill more and more things, your sword gets bigger and bigger and bigger till you hit. Then your sword goes back down to being really small. So you're really punished for being hit.
Oh. So
which is
like
a bit annoying.
Basically perfect combo chain
sort of
gameplay.
I guess I can't really avoid that other game, can I?
What other game?
Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, the cowboy game, yeah.
Cowboys.
Talk about the cowboy game. I'm some sort of pariah myself.
Two things. One, I don't like cowboys.
You don't like cowboys?
I really like cowboys.
I could take or leave cowboys.
Do you know what my two favourite westerns are?
Yes.
Paint Your Wagon and Back to the Future 3.
Good call.
I think that
this Red Dead Redemption's all right, but it doesn't have enough Clint Eastwood singing in it.
No.
Yeah.
If anyone hasn't seen Paint Your Wagon, I recommend you
watch
it.
And Lee Marvin as well.
Yeah, Lee Marvin and Clint Eastwood singing is
big
something to behold. And
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Red Dead
Redemption. If you're ever drunk, just watch that film. You will crack up. Yeah, okay. The story is you are the guy from the first Red Dead.
Yeah, this is a franchise series of all of which I've missed.
Yeah, the first one people didn't really like.
Was the first one by Rockstar?
No, I think it was by someone else.
Ah, interesting.
It was the people who became that Rockstar studio.
Right.
So
sort of revisiting.
They were an old studio, then got bought up by Rockstar and renamed, and they decided, managed to keep the rights to the game and made it. It's in the Old West, but it's getting very close to World War One time Old West.
Okay, so sort of later period.
Yeah, so it's right on the end of the Wild West.
Late 1800s.
No, it's not. It's 1910-ish.
Oh, right. Oh, fair enough.
That's interesting because, for one thing, man, America, you were not civilized in the West back then, were you? We had Queen Victoria. We had an empire. You were shooting each other with guns.
Yeah, I'd just like to apologise for my co-host using Red Dead Redemption as his sole reference for American culture and history. He may say a few things that are just sound plain ignorant and also quite offensive. But carry on.
To be fair on the game,
it's like saying that we all just stomped around Sherwood Forest for the past sort of 3,000 years.
We did.
Shooting bows and stuff.
To be fair on the game, at one end of the map, it is really quite late. There's electricity everywhere, cables everywhere, and it's obviously right there on the end. And there's an old there's an old steamer, paddle boat, which is all wrecked and rotting, and it really gives you the feel that that's the end of the era, and that's where you end up at the end of the game. But early on, it actually feels a lot earlier in the Old West.
Right.
A lot more frontier town, a lot
it's
more
sort of fluid kind of era, though, I suppose.
Yeah.
It depends where you are.
It puts down the date very clearly, though, letting you know that's when it was.
Right.
But, yeah, the world is designed to make you feel earlier or later, depending on where you are in the plot.
Some places haven't caught up with others, yeah.
Yeah.
Big story to it?
Yes, it's got a really, really good story, which starts out really slow, then gets pretty awesome.
Yeah.
then gets slow again, and then gets incredibly awesome, and then there's the really, really, really awesome bit, which most people are going to miss because it doesn't signpost where it is.
Oh, right.
If you finish the game and haven't had the end titles, you've missed a mission.
Ah, so there's like a epilogue type of thing. Effectively, at the very end. Okay, keep an eye out for that then if you're playing.
And it really is an epilogue, but I don't want to say any more about it without spoiling it because it is just brilliant.
Right.
Although I will say I've never enjoyed shooting someone 10 times in the face more in my life and never thought they deserved it more.
Quite brutal game then. Comes with an 18 on the box, presumably.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Good. There's an achievement for tying nuns to train tracks.
No, there's an achievement for tying women to train tracks.
Right. Okay.
You should get stylistic points for you on a nun, though.
Extra points for the nun. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are we talking here? We're talking like large sandbox open world, Wild West?
We're talking basically a GTA type game.
GTA.
So you've got the strong plot going through it, but you've also got other things you can do. You can do lots of side missions. People just run up to you, give you things to do, chase down the guy who just robbed a store. Somebody will want to lift into town. Hint, they're going to steal your horse. Just shoot them in the head the moment they do that. Things like that.
Hmm.
There's also collecting flowers, hunting and skinning stuff.
Collecting flowers. Excellent.
Yeah, no, really.
So there needs to be more of that in these games, I think.
The game is brilliant.
I've seen a lot of people tweeting about it, absolutely obsessed and fantastically enjoying it.
The atmosphere in the game is spot on, and it covers everything from snowy mountains to big mesas in the desert,
cool.
to the usual Western. This actually looks a bit like Spain scrubland.
Spaghetti Western. Yeah.
It's brilliant. The atmosphere is brilliant. The music's brilliant. And there's one bit which everyone has talked about, and I'm going to talk about too, where you go across from America to Mexico for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And at that particular moment, some music plays. And if you play that game and that isn't one of the best moments of the year, game-wise, for you, you're dead inside. You just feel, this is brilliant.
I think I might have to get this horse. One, yeah.
No, I think this is definitely a
one
game.
One of the few games I'm actually going to purchase.
This is one you have to play.
Fair enough.
Even if you don't like Westerns and you don't like GTA.
I like Westerns, you know, that's right. Bit of a change as well, you know. I mean, it's not usually it's tromping around some medieval topia with a sword and whatnot.
Yeah, I do have some questions.
Hmm.
I can't change the radio on my horse. I've tried finding the other radio channels. They're not there.
Does your mobile phone not summon homies either?
No. Your mobile phone doesn't for some people work. To give me gear.
God.
That's terrible. There's very strong multiplayer as well.
Oh, good.
Although every time I played the strong multiplayer, it has degenerated into running around a town shooting each other for fun.
Well, it's cowboys and Indians, isn't it? How do they treat the indigenous American pupils? Is that a sore point, or is that treated rather more sensitively than probably was at the time?
They are referred to in the past tense quite a lot.
Okay, fair enough.
You're not chasing down any indigenous people, but... they're conspicuous by their absence.
You get the impression that a lot of people haven't recently.
Yeah. Mm. There is an achievement for killing the last buffalo. You have to hunt down every buffalo in the game, and you get an achievement for killing the last one.
Brilliant.
Which I actually enjoyed far too much.
Collection gameplay gone mad. Yeah.
Yeah. There's dueling shootout thingies in...
Oh, High Noon.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
It's got very much like the VAP system in Fallout 3.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a mode which you go in, everything goes sapier, and then you basically plot out where you want your shots to go in very, very slow motion, and then you'll just do them really quickly, which works really well for shootouts and other stuff. Really gives you that feel of...
So it's not just a... Not just charging around first-person shooter style, but with a different setting.
No, as long as you're slightly not in the multiplayer, you've actually got, in the single player, the ability to be very, very careful with your shots for a certain amount of time.
It mucks about with time a little bit.
Yeah, everything just slows to a crawl.
Good stuff.
The plot itself is incredibly good.
Yeah, strong story.
There's 2 points in the game where you have to really put your way through a lot of farm work.
Farming. Hey.
To start with, the first match
is this your humble origins before it all goes wrong?
The first match is basically to teach you the game, and as you do each mission of that
tutorial,
you get new bits of gear, like you get given your lasso, you get given a gun, that sort of thing. And the second batch is at the later on in the game, towards the end, where you're a bit more settled without wanting to spoil anything.
Quite, yeah, careful.
And yeah, and there is an end. What you think is going to be the ending is very, very signposted, and you think you know how it's going to end, but there's a lovely twist on that.
Excellent.
At least I thought it was going to end that way, and it didn't.
Well, yeah, less said the better then.
Yep. And the true ending is just brilliant. So the plot really does seem to work as a.
Yeah. I do like a good adventure-y, you know, good story, a good romp. Yeah, it's been a while since I've had one.
And of course, at the end, it puts you back in the world to clean up anything that you missed in the main playthrough.
Yeah, sort of increasingly common open world story where it just lets you out at the end to play with whatever you like.
At this point, if you release a open world game which doesn't do that, you get slated.
Well, this is it. Not to get all the corners.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that's all the games I've played.
Excellent.
I probably missed some.
Let's do the Twitter questions. I did two this week because I got a bit mad.
You were thinking that maybe we...
I know, and it's really complicated to try and deal with, separate out two questions in one
linear. Can you remember what the two questions were?
First one was, what was the most sentimental piece of loot you've got? You looted, because I was reminded, see, of my I got a fantastic bit of loot in DDO, my feather falling boots of Featherfall.
Okay.
They basically have permanent Featherfall on, and also three charges of Featherfall per day. Sort of somewhat laying the random generation of loot table bare a bit there, but I'm keeping them because they're just so supremely useless. They're my redundant boots of redundancy. So I was very impressed with that. And it sort of got me thinking about loot that we keep in our banks that we've easily outgrown, but has meant more than just snacks to us, that kind of thing. So I asked what sorts of things you keep well beyond use. And also the Eurovision question.
Oh, yes.
Which was who's going to win and who's going to come last?
We'll talk about Eurovision afterwards.
We'll do that afterwards, yeah. All right.
Okay. Arcanor kicked off with, I have a bank full of completely useless stuff that has various sentimental value.
See, not just me.
Everyone does
this. Yeah. That's why bank space is... You know when you have to pay a certain amount to unlock more bank space?
Yeah.
You look at the stuff that you're going to put in that bank space. Nowhere near that much money.
No. Good rule there. If you're unlocking bank space and you can't pay for it with the stuff you put in the bank, then...
You probably don't need the bank space.
Yeah, you're better off not having the bank space. Steiner Davion says...
New follower?
My minor boots of striding, amulet of natural armour, and founder's helm.
Founder's helm sounds impressive. That collector's edition early beta thing?
Don't know. Mm. Ackley says, I have a shock pink helmet that I use on a character in EQ2. It makes my dwarf look really silly.
Dwarf with a hot pink helmet. Awesome.
Yeah. Get cream for that. Arcanor says, my old Kinos signet ring, for starters, from when Maltheus first arrived. I've got one of them, if my account's still going.
Yeah. What's Maltheus?
He's a character, his character in EQ2.
Oh, well, of course, right, yeah. Oh yeah, when you get your stuff from getting off the island of refuge. They got rid of that apparently.
Yeah, he also says, "Am I commemorative Freeport coin? It talks with Christopher Lee as the Overlord. Sadly, it's no trade, so I can't show anyone."
Awesome. A coin that you press to make Christopher Lee or be ominous.
Yeah,
at
assuming my character's not been deleted, I've still got one.
Yeah. I think I went with the Kinos one. It was Heather Graham for the good people. Not quite as awesome.
No.
They got rid of the Starter Isles. Freeport and Kinos Starter Islands. Apparently, you've started in Timorous Deeps now. I don't know. But
it sounds like change to me.
Change, we don't like change.
Bad change. Bad change.
I haven't played EQ2 in a while.
Curith Kardachi.
Yep.
I've kept a lot of civilians for my mission days. Tourist, marines, one-handed commander, janitors, exotic dancers.
Exotic dancers! Yeah. There you go. Who hasn't got 10 exotic dancers in every hangar bay they park at regularly?
Well, it saves getting bored.
Well, quite, yes. Trouble on those long trips.
Yeah. Arcanor says, I'm of the opinion that the UK entry is dull and not deserving of getting very far.
It's going to be a Eurovision one then.
Yeah. And
he was absolutely right.
I've not heard the rest, keeping myself fresh for our Eurovision party. God, I bet that got a little bit boring towards the end, didn't it? Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I loved the voting at the end. Oh, yeah, we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about more. Right?
Yeah.
We'll see how well he predicted there.
Yeah, see what his prediction was like.
I've lost where I am.
Lady D.
My best bit of loot that I did not keep was a +20 blacksmith score on an Ultra Online that was sold on eBay for $200 in 2004. Wow.
Blimey. In 2004 as well. That's about £8,000 in today's money.
It is, yeah.
+20 blacksmith scroll. I mean, I don't remember crafting being that difficult.
Oh, it was.
Maybe if you capped it, you could then go up above.
Weren't there criticals? I can't remember. Anyway, I seem to remember that was very valuable.
Well played. Not that we condone RMT of any shape or form, of course, but, well done.
Yeah. CM Gangrel says, probably the World of Warcraft, the two tankard weapons for my gnome rogue. Either that or snowball launcher for EVE Online. Screw that, I tend to hoard everything. Special, full stop, rare paint, anniversary items, etc, etc. Beanbag launcher from Cox.
It's anything you can't get again.
Yeah.
That's what I tend to keep.
That launcher is over 5 years old and still has uses left on it.
Snowball launcher, I never got one of those.
That's the... The beanbag launcher, I guess.
I got the Jovian shuttle. I don't know where that
is. I got a
Zephyr, though, because I unsubbed.
I've got Zephyr. Annoying. Yeah, I've got several snowball launchers.
Yeah.
Several shuttles, got a Zephyr. Yeah. Tulky says, probably my 8-piece Storm Rage gear, the Druid 2nd-tier raid set in WoW.
Yeah, the stuff you work hard for at the top end. I'm keeping all my bits of Shield Bearer's armour. Now we're replacing them with Radiant armor, just because it took a lot of work and effort, and they mean a lot to me. I'm not probably not going to wear them again, but it's important to me.
Asgar says, probably was my mini Kunavang.
Yeah, it's a sort of Guild Wars floaty oriental dragon pet thing.
Now it's my over the top sword and DDO, Frost, Holy, and Acid.
Yeah, and it's huge. He looks like someone out of Final Fantasy charging around at the front of the fire. It's ridiculous. He just needs the hair to go with it, and he's sorted.
And he also comes up with a bonus podcast question. Mm. Don't know who'll win, but I guarantee it's not England. Don't think we'll come last, though.
Yes, we'll come back to that in a moment.
Yeah. Well predicted there, man. Gothwalk says, straight on to the bonus podcast question. Ireland will win, of course. I reckon Bosnia and Herzegovina will be last.
Uh-huh.
Were they even in it?
It's good, but it's not right.
Didn't they drop out? They dropped out because of the cost during the week.
Moldova or Montenegro, one of those dropped out because one of their broadcasters was gone into insolvency or something. I don't remember Bosnia and Herzegovina, though. I think they might have got knocked out in the semis.
Sammy Scrobo, one of my characters has a set of black dragon armour sitting in the bank, and of course a wedding ring that I'm attached to. yeah, one of those. Tomatastic, though I do love my own pair of featherball boots, I found no loot to be indispensable, apart from the mortar. Yes, that's...
No, you don't see the genius of my feather-falling boots of featherfall. Double redundancy. But yes, that man's not allowed a mortar again, or a hammer of dawn.
No. Shut his iPad.
new follower.
Which is Shuttler's iPad. Says, I like to collect pieces of Shuttler's soul every time he does something naughty or French on/with me.
Oh, dear.
He is French. He lives in what we call Little France.
Their own Twitter accounts now.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, they do nowadays.
And they talk interesting stuff about their own.
Yeah, I'll have to keep following that then.
Yep. Some zero.
Dirt we can learn.
Lockdalar and Rockdalar from the original WoW's Hunter Epic Quest.
I have no idea what those are, but they sound like very powerful weapons that you'd have to do extensive chain questing for.
And he says, some twanky folk songish wank will win. And an out-of-tune generic simpering melody from Western Europe will come last.
Mm.
Well, one of those was right.
Yeah.
Not the winner.
Not bad, not bad.
And it was definitely... out of tune. Eric Stroh says, in WoW, on my first character, a rabbit's foot, I looted as a mere level 1 or 2.
Aww. I must keep more level 1 loot. This was my first ever piece of loot.
Yeah. Sean MC74 says, my first second age weapon at Lotro.
Oh.
It was given to me by a kinmate who passed away last year.
Ah, right. Sentimental value there then. Yeah.
And the bonus podcast question, he says, Father Ted and Dougal, because my lovely horse is the best song ever. My lovely horse was a lot better than an awful lot of the songs this year again.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Shuttler comes in with, did I ever mention that Terratastic and me had guns named after us in Tabula Rasa?
I think you may have mentioned it once or twice.
Yeah.
Still jealous.
Oh, that's not fair. No one's named it anything after us.
I was even
us.
Actively playing at the time as well. No one's ever named anything after us. No.
I'm holding off a Zenki calling villains after us. He's our last chance.
Yeah. We'll be famous one day, don't worry.
Already says, as my father taught me, you can never have enough hats.
Can't argue with that.
No, you can't really. Oni911B. Device. This is a thing. It does stuff.
Right.
Yep. Chamnak says, nothing fancy. A Pangean soil in City of Heroes that was a gift at Christmas. Then gave it to a newbie player about 2 months ago. And
fair
for
enough.
The extra, he
free
says,
material things.
First place UK, of course.
Ah.
Nolpont, France. Just because.
Right.
Rom and Rom.
Yeah.
One of my problems with Eurovision at the moment is no one can get no points. There's too many countries. It's physically impossible not to get accidentally voted for.
It'd have to be a conspiracy or an act of malice. Yeah. But
even if it's conspiracy and an act of malice, as we would know, we still got points. Slugrino says, when playing EQ1, I got the head of Lord Inquisitor Seru.
Ooh, blimey. I vaguely sounds familiar. Yeah. Is it Seru Sanctum? Is that like a whole zone on the moon expansion?
You're asking it like I know.
I know. I'm grasping it myself. Yeah. But well done. Jolly well done there.
Kudslink 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Sword of Shadow. This is not Sork item, but something that reminds me of a Dragon Raid. Dragon Raid. Don't know what any of that means.
Sorcerer. Yeah, he usually plays a sorcerer, but he probably looted a sword for someone else.
And he says, for the the Aisha question, I will win, everyone else will lose. Yeah.
Well, I think everyone who watched Eurovision lost in some quite fundamental way, really. But yeah.
Did you not come out of it thinking that Graham Norton was a lot better than when you started? He came. My opinion of Graham Norton's ability to do it.
He did an all right job, yeah.
Especially when he was taking the mech out of himself while he was being interviewed.
yeah, that was surreal.
Yeah. Notarist says, banana scythe.
Banana! Absolutely. I've got a banana scythe too.
Sadly, not the melon hammer.
The melon hammer was a bit of a disappointment, yeah.
Still searching for a cucumber truncheon. Wait, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, we got banana scythes, and it is actually like a banana on a stick. It has 10 to 10 damage, always does 10 a hit.
Okay.
Absolutely useless, except with illusionary weaponry, but very funny, very good, and a good quest to get it as well, which is basically snakes on a plane, but with costs. And the melon hammer, yeah, nothing to do with melons. I mean, I've never heard of a melon hammer before. Is that a specialised tool for melons?
It's for opening melons when you're really angry.
Fair enough.
Zona 21 says, everything. Every NPC sent letter, every useless bit of tat that can't be replaced, and the first epic I ever got. Pack rat me.
Absolutely. It's anything you can't get again, I tend to end up making special and keeping forever.
Yeah. Crimson KMR says, Earthcaller and Swiftwind, the EQ1 Ranger epic weapons, long after they were decent weapons. Dino, whatever. Does the grenade launcher in Left 4 Dead 2 count? I love it, but it's never useful for surviving because I blow everyone up. I was using that. I forgot to play Left 4 Dead 2. I was playing it on the weekend.
Oh, right. Yeah. Did you use the grenade launcher?
Yeah.
Excellent. Did you blow everyone up?
No. I blew myself up. That's talking about DDR. It's talking about the show. That's talking about
Enlightened One's got a good one.
Enlightened One, yeah. An orca I found floating unpiloted in the safe spot. The pilot must have been shocked when they found it was gone. I've wanted to do that for
years. You've been trying. You've been dreaming about
every single ship in the
safe
damn
spot.
Game.
Yeah, but you never take the time to go out and look for them. So how much does an orca go for, roughly?
A billion
isn't it?
No, it might be 700,000. No.
Best part.
It's either just over a billion or less than a billion.
Well, it's still quite well done finding that for free.
Yeah.
I think we might have a winner there, to be honest.
Next is Tebatastic thanking us for criticising him on 104. What were we going to say about him in this one that's bad?
He's a sterling chap, and a pleasure to know.
He's a sterling chap, and we're really grateful that he's really good with a mortar. That's boring.
Is it?
It could well be. The problem with doing it so late in the week is then degenerating in a chat to what game we should play
Twitter's
next.
Twitter's probably not the optimum communication method for this kind of thing, but never mind. We'll keep going with it anyway.
No, yes.
So what do you reckon of Eurovision then? I watched it with my sister, and we had all the popcorn and everything. We were shouting abuse at the telly and everything else. It was a good night in.
I called Germany early on to win.
Yes.
The moment I heard Germany, I thought, it's going to win.
You reckon? You saw that?
Yeah. No, I think it goes by my theory.
Well, I was very impressed with Spain. Do you see the stage invasion? That was great. Was it Johnny Jump, as he's now being called?
Yeah.
And Spain got a second go at the very end because their stage invasion. Probably,
they were still bad.
Yeah, I think they should have gone with the first go, to be honest. Yeah, that was no good. I liked the ridiculous over-the-top costume butterfly wing thing there. Also, there was the duet who were firing fireworks at each other across a double piano, which was quite cool.
Yeah.
We liked the pyros there. Yeah, and I think my favourite, I thought Turkey were going to do it. I thought the manga with the robot woman with the angle grinder who's just sawing herself up throughout the
act. I thought
the
they would, but then I heard the German entry, and the German just had a good bass line. And if you've got something which is danceable,
she
you'll win.
She sounded a bit like Björk, I thought.
She sounded a bit like Björk, because her English may not have been perfect.
Well, no, but even so, the same sort of tone and delivery and stuff.
Yeah,
it was quite catchy. I think it was a deserved win.
It was the catchy song, so it's always the catchy one that wins. And whatever banal rubbish we put out, but I can't remember
our
again.
Song was awful. It was I honestly I was watching it and I couldn't remember it,
you know, it was written by two-thirds of Stock Aitken and Waterman.
I know. Well, you know what I think we ought to do?
Get rid of
Stock Aitken and Waterman, obviously, but no,
stop letting people vote on it, because people are idiots.
Yeah, don't do that. But also don't do the competition for the performer, do the competition for the writers. Don't just say, right, this time Andrew Lloyd Webber's going to do it.
Well, you reckon we could groom any performer into being good?
Well, I think it's not the performer's part of it, certainly, but that song was just so awful and nothing. It was drab.
It was absolutely
very embarrassing,
abysmal,
frankly.
Yes.
And a deserved last place in the finals for Great Britain, as it
turned
out.
We were beaten by Moldova or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I do think that actually it's getting a bit embarrassing, and we are the world's second biggest exporters of music.
Yeah.
And why can't we do well in this? Because we don't enter it.
You flick over onto ITV and there's like people swallowing golf balls and juggling fire.
We don't enter into the spirit of it. We introduce a song which we think those Europeans should like.
Yes, it's all very clinical, isn't it?
Yeah,
those crazy Germans don't have a sense of humour. Let's see what this goes down like.
Let's enter a song which is in the spirit of Eurovision.
Well, the top two were songs that had been released and were big hits already on European charts anyway before the competition. Satellite and the Mango one there.
Maybe we should get Gallagher to do it. There's two advantages. One, he does seem to be able to sell records, which would stand us a chance of winning. And two, if he fails, then Gallagher's failed at Eurovision is really rubbish, and we can be happy at that.
I think there was a rumour that Morrissey was going to be doing it one year, wasn't there?
I think Morrissey offered.
No one wanted to. It was just embarrassing. I tell you what, it wasn't as good as previous Eurovisions. It wasn't as gimmicky. There wasn't as much spectacle. I blame the heats. I blame, because all the really truly abysmal and comically bad stuff gets weeded out during the week.
I mean, there was 25 voting people.
Well, there's 25 performers. The 25
in, and then two hours of voting. Yeah,
and all of the
really rubbish ones got rid of. So you're just left with either the mediocre, the rubbish ones like ours, which get in through default because we pay a lot of money.
The big four,
basically, the way Eurovision works is certain countries put a lot of money into it.
I think it's Britain, France, Germany, and I don't know.
Is it Spain?
The other one? Might be Spain. I don't know. But
and therefore we get a guaranteed entry.
We'll always be in the finals.
The moment
host nation always in the final as well.
Yeah,
obviously.
The moment we don't get a guaranteed entry, I reckon it's dead for us. Because we're never going to get in again.
Well, I think Czechoslovakia didn't bother entering because no one in their country cared or something. Yeah. I was reading about it on Wikipedia. Apparently, 10% of their population even bothered to watch it last year, so they just walked away from it all.
Yeah.
Italy don't take part. I don't know why, but possibly for similar reasons.
Well, I think they're too sensible. It's fun. It's camp.
Graham
Norton
was actually
getting quite good at the drunken banter.
Yeah.
But I think it's only really fun if we do well, and to do well we have to embrace it and play properly.
Well, I think it's only really fun if you've got the completely zany and out there dress, you know, costumes and choreography and songs, you know, really mad stuff, and that all just gets weeded out in the heats, which is a shame. Still, there we go. That's all the madness for another year. We didn't bother doing a live podcast in the end because
you're
lucky.
There's crying at the end in this household.
How much wit can you do?
If anyone
for four
was following
hours of
me on Twitter on Saturday night, I do apologise for the increasingly drunken, bitter posts.
Another thing.
Don't know why we bother with a stupid competition.
Taking it all a little too seriously there, I think.
Yeah.
So let's wrap up. What did you learn this week?
I learned that we shouldn't bother with Eurovision, of course.
And I learned that patios are quite heavy. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Yes, where we'll be talking about a game.
Yeah.
Which is...